Welcome to Ain't Slayed Nobody. This is an actual play podcast intended for adults and may contain material that some people find disturbing. Please see the episode notes for content warnings and listen with care.
Lucky, when did you say Bernie's wife died?
12 years ago.
Now you're looking at it, the shock has passed. You can see that, you know, it is decayed, but it isn't like a 12-year-old skull by any means. It's certainly much fresher, but it's clearly been in the ground for somewhere from a week to a month from your, you know, vague medical knowledge that you would have. It's not long been in the ground. Some friendly worm pops through the mouth to wave hello. You would say it's a male teenager, you would guess? So not quite a child, not quite an adult.
Or ain't Slade no adults. Now that Kermit's pretty sure that they're at a murderer's house, can he kind of back up just to keep lookout to make sure Corbett's not driving up?
Yeah, sure. You can sort of take a look around front from the side of the house.
So while Kermit's going around to see if Corbett's on his way home, Lucky's going to look at Moose and say, Moose, darling, if you did see a woman in the house, I think she might be in danger. So what do you say we go see if we can lend the lady a hand and maybe call the police?
And Moose doesn't even say anything. He cocks his Winchester rifle and starts making his way to that basement door.
As you kind of head past the virtual patch, the corner of your eye remembers the greenhouse and that you'd left the door open. You know, you look and you could swear that the plants are moving inside the greenhouse. Maybe it's a light dappling through the glass frames.
If I rolled listen, would I hear, feed me, Seymour?
Your inner voice is saying, it's the dappling of the autumn light, isn't it? And the other voice in your head is going, no, that those plants were moving.
The Ents are on the march.
Given his cousin, who is also his current employer, is urging him to go assist someone who may be in peril, that is going to override any curiosity of what might be going on in the greenhouse right now.
Okay. So you go down the steps to the basement door. That is locked. What would you like to do?
I would like to attempt to pick that lock.
Okay, so you're going to use finesse and pick the lock?
I've got a small amount of locksmith skill. Is that useful?
Locksmith would be great.
I pull a bobby pin out of my terrible haircut. Hey, I rolled an 18. That's actually a hard success.
Yeah, it doesn't take you too long. You know, it's like looking, Kermit, watching this. It's clearly Moose's a dab hand at picking locks from the look of it. Seems to have done this before.
Yeah, I give Lucky kind of a look like...
Oh, why do you think I hired him, darling? We got up to some shenanigans back in the day.
It's probably just after midday or so by now, which would give Edward enough time to have been mucking around in the library and ringing up doctors and so on. Edward, if you want to give me a luck roll, this will determine how soon you turn up, really.
I was just hoping I'd show up in the house and be like, hey, everybody, I'm home!
You'd be turning up in the house is in flames.
That is a 91, so I ain't coming home anytime soon.
Well, it could be bad luck to come home.
You're honking the car horn because there's some sort of delay. You're convinced you've had to go completely the opposite way around Boston to get back to where you're supposed to be. You've all ground to this halt. It's not like there's millions of cars on the road in the 1920s, but...
Classic I-93.
It's a little bit annoying, but, you know, hopefully soon you'll be there, I'm sure. You see, you know, you are making progress.
This is punishment for the game of telephone.
Meanwhile, the rest of you have this basement door unlocked. It looks, looking in, it looks like some sort of utility room, and it's obviously reasonably dark. It's just the light coming in from... as you're looking in, there's a window to your left, as well as the doorway.
Well, Bernie's not here. If he's killing people down here, should we just holler out, see if anybody's here?
I mean, we're pretty good at hollering. Moose, you got the best hollering voice, or so they tell me.
How do we know he doesn't have somebody else with him?
Well, I mean, we have already knocked on the door, screamed at uncovering a body in the backyard. If he has an accomplice, he knows we're here anyway.
So, Moose says,
is there anybody in here?
Somewhere from within the house, possibly the cellar, your gut thought, you hear this, it's kind of like a scratching sound. Your initial thought, certainly Moose, is of rats. But you don't think it is rats. It kind of brought that impression, but something scratching the kind of plaster wall in the basement, that's what it kind of brings to mind. And it seems to only happen just after you called out, as if in reply, I guess.
Okay, Moose is going to put his rifle on his back and pull out his hatchet and walk in.
Okay.
I'm going to pull out my garter knife.
Kermit pulls out his little electromagnetic field detector that he built that he's pretty sure doesn't work at all.
But it feels good in the hand.
Yeah, it's got a good heft to it.
It might just be amazing, you know? So there's that little hope in your head. This is the future.
That's right.
But who's to say?
This is exciting. This is the most excited I've been probably since my divorce.
Is it as exciting as my journey on I-93?
The traffic's starting to flow, Edward. It's getting pretty good. You're making some progress now. It shouldn't be too long now before you're, you know, on the main road back.
If you're lucky, one or two of us might be alive when you get here.
As long as that policeman ahead doesn't wave you over, you'll be fine. It's, you know, the voice is going, he's going to stop me. He's going to stop me for that tail light. I just know it. But fingers crossed, you're making progress. Okay, the scratching has stopped. For a second, as you kind of start to wander into the kind of utility type room, Lucky kind of hears, not glass shattering, but like somebody was sweeping glass on the floor, sweeping it up, it moving, that kind of gratey sound, I guess. And your best kind of gut thought is that it seemed to be coming from further inside the basement. And in terms of the room you're in, there's nowhere to go towards your right. It's just like an alcove kind of space. But the room kind of goes in beyond to your left. And ahead of you, there is an opening through to another room with the front of the house, you know, another kind of basement room. And between the two rooms, more or less, is a door, which either is to another room or maybe is to an internal staircase or something. There are windows in the room ahead of you, letting in a bit of light, and you can make out, while you're in like a storage and utility area, at the front of the house looks like that's the laundry.
Kermit's walking as close to Moose as he possibly can.
Okay, that sounds wonderful.
Can I do a listen to see if any of those sounds I was hearing earlier are still going on, or if I can figure out what direction to go in?
Yeah, give me a listen roll, please.
Oh, that's a critical. That's a one.
You can maybe get the others to sort of shush them down for a second or two as you kind of listen. And you hear this kind of faint... It's a really unusual sound because you're not expecting to hear it. You're kind of expecting to hear glass or some sort of scratching or tapping kind of sounds. Well, it's kind of like a gurgling... You kind of say like a baby... Almost cooing and gurgling sounds. Not continuous. Now that you're really listening hard, your impression that they're coming from somewhere, maybe somewhere down in the basement, but towards the front of the house.
Well, that ain't right. So I hear some very strange noises that way. There might be a child here. We should probably go check that out.
Moose looks down as if weighing whether or not the presence of a child means he should put the hatchet away and decides not.
Nope. Keep your weapons out, darling. Again, house of a murderer.
And Kermit's actually going to physically grab the back of Moose's shirt to kind of hold on to him as they're walking.
What's my, I like my secondary plot of traveling down 993. How am I doing?
Pothole.
You passed the policeman. He hasn't pulled you over. You are now very close to home. You know, probably 5-10 minutes.
But there's this asshole who is just right on my tail, and he's bumper to bumper with me. If I make any slight movement, he's going to hit me, so...
Yeah, unless you want to kind of, you know, just take a bit of a risk and do a maneuver and kind of...
Is that a drive roll? Am I going to make a drive roll?
Maybe a drive roll if you'd like.
Is that a first for this podcast?
That would be a first.
No. We did it on the disintegrator.
Oh, that's right. I did. Yeah.
I got 20 in that. That's a 38. So it's a fail, but it's not that bad.
Push the roll.
Push the roll into a 3-car pileup.
Never make it back into the scene.
Extend this subplot a little longer.
Yeah, the rest of this subplot is going to be you filling out insurance forms and stuff.
You're close. You have luck.
Sure, why not? I'm not using luck anyways. 50. I'm now at a 50 in luck.
Oh, that's not bad.
You spend your luck. Hell with this. Yeah, you pull out and kind of partially mount some sort of curb and or whatever, and just put your foot down on the accelerator, and you pile ahead past this chap who's been the bane of your life the last half an hour.
He's reading a newspaper. He's distracted driving.
And you pull ahead and put your foot down, and you know, you make your way, and you are going to be home fairly soon, any moment really. But meanwhile, so you've got this laundry room ahead of you. You've got this door. You've not tried
going through the door because I think that might be the maybe something with a staircase or something to get closer to the front of the house, which is where I think the noise is coming from.
Moose is listening to what Lucky is saying and sort of taking point on that.
Okay.
Moose, darling, would you open that door for me? You're such a doll. And then I hide behind Moose.
And I will try the door.
Okay, so the door isn't locked. It's a kind of internal door. You open the door, and basically you can see that directly opposite the door is another door, basement level. 90 degrees to the door you've opened is a staircase going up. So clearly this is an internal stairway, you know, to the ground floor.
I think we got to push on ahead to the door across from us.
You do that, Moose.
Moose rushes in. I've just got my little garter stiletto out.
Okay, you try the door opposite the one you've opened, and this is locked.
Okay, well, hey, it worked once before.
You do have a hatchet.
I like my hatchet. I don't want to mess up my hatchet. But I still got my bobby pin. Can I try and pick this lock?
You certainly can.
That did not go as well. That's a 77, which is a failure.
Push the roll.
This one, you would guess, is a newer lock. Not brand new, but it isn't the old lock that was on the back door. This has been definitely fitted probably in the last maybe 5 or 6 years or so. It's a better lock, I guess, and so it's just a little harder to open. You think maybe if you want to spend a bit longer, you could give it another go with a push roll if you like.
How sturdy would you say this door itself looks?
I think you would see this and think I could break through that.
I think that that's what I would like to attempt to do.
Please fumble and break your foot.
Edward, you know, you pulled onto the street outside Lucky's house. Obviously, there's no sign of them outside. They're not all waiting for you outside. Especially not with a drink.
Well, why would they be? I mean, we were not talking about doing anything other than the normal day-to-day. I probably would come in, see if there's breakfast. I see that there's none. I go down into the basement and there, see if Kermit is working on our proton blasters or whatever we're calling them these days.
There's a note from Kermit that just says, breaking into the neighbor's house, BRB.
In the basement, though, I didn't take the large suitcase of gear, but I think you might notice that I did take that EMF detector that's missing now.
Yes, the EMF detector. I believe it's a little faulty, but... All right, I guess I'll go look around the rest of the house because there is no...
There's a note on the table next to the fruit basket that Corbett sent over. Yes, there is, because Lucky wants her team together. Eddie, darling, if you get this, just gone across the street to have a look at Corbett's new mistress. Back soon. Love. And there's a heart. Lucky.
Obviously, next to it is the delicious bowl of fruit and vegetables.
Edward would grab an apple. We might actually have something to investigate over there, and I should probably tell them.
Let Mike kill you for taking a bite of the apple first, and then you can go over.
Yeah, make a power roll.
Oh, no, that's fine. You have a good crunch on the apple. It tastes really sweet and nice. And, you know, as you're crunching on the apple, there's nobody there at the front. You can't really see any movement. So I think you'd guess that, you know, they've probably gone round to the back of the house.
Can I listen in? Can I, like, hear if there's anybody inside, or...?
Do you want to go up to the front door and listen, or the basement window, or do you want to go round, or...?
He might hear me trying to break that door down right now.
I feel like a normal person would walk to the front of the door and be like, is there anybody here?
Put a glass up to the door and try to hear through it.
A listener roll, then.
That's an 88.
The timing is not quite syncing with that door bashing.
I guess I'll go around to the back.
You know there's a big garden around the back and whatnot. Maybe they're around there.
Hey, I think we're in the greenhouse.
You do see the greenhouse door is open, wide. perhaps, you know, and you can see some movement. Looks like some movement in the greenhouse. I think they're inside there.
I love where this is going.
Yeah, there's probably somebody in there.
It would be fun if, with your late arrival, you're still the first one to die.
That'd be great.
Eddie dies and we never find out what happens to him.
Yeah, we never even see him again.
He becomes compost for the strange orchids in the greenhouse.
Well, yes, no. Why wouldn't they be in the greenhouse, obviously? That's where the mistress would be anyway, so I'll go ahead. I mean, I see the movement in the greenhouse, don't I?
Mistresses love greenhouses.
At this point, can I just get Edward to make a con roll?
Oh.
I need it to be extreme.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh. Fail, fail, fail.
What's your constitution, Edward?
Under a 12. I'm a 60. That's an 85. So
do you want to spend luck on that?
85?
How many people's luck can he spend?
You asshole.
You can see plants in the greenhouse, you know, people in the greenhouse inside there moving around doing something. You can see that.
Yeah, no, well then if I see people in there, then I'll obviously go and see what's going on in there.
As you walk inside the greenhouse, you see Lucky Moose and Kermit. Well, you think it's Mr. Corbett in there with them. He seems to be saying something, but you can't quite understand what he's saying. And everyone else seems to be listening very intently and nodding their heads and smiling quite a lot. It's a little strange because as you go into the greenhouse, there's all these kind of colours shimmering around everyone. And you kind of put your hand out to touch one and you realise your hand is kind of shimmering, twisting and glowing at the same time. It's amazing, actually. And you see that your companions and Mr. Corbett seem to have gone off somewhere because they're not there anymore. And your fingers are kind of twisting together into this... It's like a flower. Your hand is becoming a flower. It's amazing. This is just awesome. It's like, wow, I need to show that I've got a flower as a hand and look at my other hand. It's another flower.
Wow.
Lucky wants some of what he's having.
Yeah, Cup, I think you need to name this episode Fear and Loathing in Maniac Mansion.
It's great because all the flowers must be your friends because you must be kind of part flower and plant yourself because you can see this kind of big orchid nearby. It's kind of coming towards you. It's your friend. It wants to be with you. It's amazing. But could you roll me a D10 and tell me what you get?
Death.
That would be a 6.
Oh, that's the worst one.
They were all good except for 6.
this orchid seems to be, there's like, there's almost like insects are all flying around you, but you realize it's not insects, it's the flower's pollen. The pollen is alive, and it's, and you can see it all glowing and glittering around you as you want to breathe it in. And as you breathe it in, it gets even more intense.
Whoa.
You're not even in the greenhouse anymore. You're on this kind of another planet. The sky is kind of like purpley green color, and there's like six moons in the sky, and there's these massive kind of like tall, weird kind of structures that kind of twisting out of the ground, and it's amazing. It's a bit amazing, but it's also a bit scary. Your mind is starting to tell you that this is amazing, but this isn't quite right, is it? I shouldn't be here. It was all cool when it was all plants and lights and things, but this is kind of scary. I feel like I'm being watched. Those big tower things, they look like they're moving. Are they towers? No, they're not towers. They're living things that want to eat me. And you suddenly start to scream. And can I have a sanity roll, please?
No, make it stop. Make it stop.
93.
Ooh.
I love this for you.
Could you make an intelligence roll, please?
That's a 61, so I succeed on that.
Oh, no.
No.
You lose 8 points of sanity as your mind reels from this. Is it an hallucination? Is it real? Is your mind being transported to somewhere beyond the Earth? Possibly. You cover your eyes over, but you can still see visions and stuff, and you're screaming and screaming.
Oh, no. Oh.
It's almost like somebody's pouring this kind of wisdom into your head that you shouldn't know. It's like you know what those things are. You know that they're starspawn. They come from the planet Zoth. They came to the Earth before humanity existed, and they're still here sleeping. And suddenly you know this kind of weird stuff that you shouldn't know. And you find that you have gained, if you roll a D8.
Six.
You gain 6 points of Cthulhu Mythos, and you have a bout of madness, which sees you kind of ripping orchids out. You know, you start destroying the greenhouse, basically, as you realize that the flowers are affecting you or something, and you have a 5 minutes of ripping them all to shreds before kind of like you fall into normality. Meanwhile, though...
Back on the ranch.
This reboot of the Constant Gardener is really messed up. Yeah, so I want to kind of square up to put my right shoulder into that door.
Give me a strength roll, please.
That's a 54, which is a success.
You force the lock enough that it kind of... the woodwork rather than the lock breaks. You know, you don't tear the door off the hinges, but you break the wood around the lock area and it opens inwards. At that point, can I get all three of you in the basement to make a listen roll?
And while we do that, can I flip the power switch on my EMF device?
Yeah.
I fail. 77.
I got a 23, which is a hard success.
Well, la-di-da.
98, big fail for me.
Ooh.
Was that a fumble?
My listen's 40.
You're okay. Moose, you hear some sort of glass breaking and someone screaming. There's something hauntingly familiar about... you could swear that it was Edward screaming.
Oh, my God.
He's screaming about the monsters from Zoth coming and how the plants are trying to eat our brains. Something like that seems to be wafting in from the garden.
Huh. And Moose says, Kermit, I think I hear Edward outside. I think you ought to go check in on him.
I don't hear anything. I think you're just hallucinating, darling.
Lucky D, what do you want me to do?
I think we should keep going, personally. I don't know why Eddie would be out in the back screaming.
Zoth! Zoth!
We are 100% hanging Will's character out to dry. Just like we said we would at the beginning.
I don't know why he would be out there screaming about whatever you say he's screaming about, Moose. Like, you're stressed. We have a lot going on. There's a murderer around the house.
They're in the flowers.
We're all under a lot of stress. So we can go check and see if there's a screaming Eddie in the back later. For now, we need to go see if there's anyone in the house and get them out before, you know, the murderer comes back.
And Moose just kind of shrugs and goes, and keeps moving forward into the room of the door that he just bashed open.
Sounds reasonable. Okay, so you head into the room you've just opened. Very quickly, as an aside, Edward, you've destroyed the greenhouse.
And you're back on I-93.
You basically kind of destroyed the greenhouse. There's smashed glass. There's ripped out plants and roots. You're covered in kind of like bits of plants and bits of petals and pollen and dirt.
Are my hands still flowers?
You know, your hands are normal now because you seem to be kind of like aware of yourself, and you realize you've destroyed this greenhouse. But you kind of, whilst you can't quite remember why you've destroyed the greenhouse, you just know that it feels the right thing to have done.
So Edward takes a few deep breaths and is like, all right, well, I guess that's
that. Job well done.
You're kind of staring at the rear of the house, and it's that point you just sort of make out the basement door at the rear of the house, and you can see it's kind of like lying open.
Open doors, yes. No, I mean, after that experience, probably a very good idea to go snooping through open doors. After my compatriots, yes. No, that's the first thing I would think to do.
So, you know, you might maybe just take a couple of minutes for yourself just to catch your breath before you head in. But, yeah, so just as you're doing that, everyone else...
As I leave, I kick one orchid.
Okay, so you're at this new room, and this is slightly different. There's a smell immediately apparent. There's kind of you kind of describe it as a chemical smell, and the reason for that, it becomes very obvious as you walk in. There are shelves filled with various kind of vials and jars and canisters, you know, many of them marked up with, you know, various chemical names. Formaldehyde is written on some, and others have got acids and different acids, and they seem to be in jars and beakers. As you can see, there's mortars and pestles. There's a large kind of table. There's various sort of dried plants kind of litter the table. On one side of the room, there's another kind of desk, and next to it is a cleaner table. I guess you say one is like a gardening table with some bits of plants on and bits of dirt and whatnot. And then on the other side of the room is another table. It's like being scrupulously clean. You can smell the disinfectant on it. Disconcertingly, next to the clean table is this kind of desk and shelf area that you could only describe as got surgical instruments on it. There's scalpels and rib spreaders and clamps and other kind of fearsome looking things you'd find in an operating room or something.
Kermit, darling, do you think maybe we have our own Dr. Frankenstein going on here?
Yeah, this Corbett's obviously killing people.
But you know what that means. Where there's a Frankenstein, there's a Frankenstein's monster.
And Kermit does not share Lucky's enthusiasm.
And Moose looks interested for the first time.
Kermit kind of... So he's a scientist. He's not a chemist, but being in a PhD program for physics and electronics, he's taken quite a few chemistry classes. Can he just survey the room to see if there's anything that catches his eye from a scientist's perspective?
One thing probably does, you kind of just hear this faint kind of sound of like an electric compressor. There's like a cabinet. It seems to be giving off a faint kind of draft of cold air. Some sort of like, you know, refrigeration cabinet or something. That catches your eye. You see that some of the bottles in this room are bottles of marked up as glucose and saline. Being familiar with some of this, or certainly, you know, laboratory stuff, I mean, you know, a lot of this room is given over some sort of like surgical come laboratory kind of thing. The equipment and the chemicals and the tools, they're not cheap. Whoever has got this has either stolen it or they've paid a princely sum, you know, to collect all this together over long. It certainly seems to have been there for some time. There are newer bits and older bits. Your prototype EMF meter, what's it supposed to do?
It lights up, and the light is supposed to flash faster and grow more intense if there are electromagnetic fields detected.
Okay, and you've switched that on, haven't you?
Yes, I switched it on as we walked into this room.
And it explodes.
Can I have a... can I have some sort of, you know, either science roll or electrical repair?
Okay, my physics and electrical repair are about the same. I'll do electrical repair, which is a 70, so... 18. Wow.
Woo!
So that's almost extreme. Hard success.
Okay, it's going to tell you something, okay? Do you want to spend luck to make that an extreme success?
Absolutely, I want to spend 4 luck to make that extreme.
Okay. So I think at this point, Edward, finally, to the rest of you, with this kind of slightly weird look in his eye, he's probably not aware of it, but there's kind of a bit of a facial tic going on. Clearly, he's been through the mill. He seems to be covered in plant matter and earth, you know, bits of shards of small bits of broken glass, you know, on his shoulders and maybe a bit in his hair. It looks like he's been rolling around in the vegetable patch or something, and then the greenhouse. Something's gone wrong somewhere is your very strong impression as he kind of comes wandering down, sighing heavily, breathing heavily, and possibly, Edward, what's the first thing you say as you see your companions? What do you say?
You said I don't really remember seeing Zoth. And...
Well, you know, you do. I'm just saying that your mind is kind of telling you that you're not sure whether it was an hallucination or whether it was real, but you're kind of feeling it was real. But clearly it's not, because you're not, you know, you're in Boston. You're here now. How could you have just been transported to somewhere off the planet?
I think I'm here.
You think you're here. So that's kind of what I mean, is you kind of, there's a rationality creeping in, but part of your brain says, no, I think I went there, or at least my brain did.
You guys, I believe that there's probably a little bit more going on here than we have ever dealt with before. This feels like things I have read about. This is the first time I felt this close to the afterlife since I saw my mother get taken. This is the first time. There is something actually going on here. I don't quite know what is all of this stuff. There's something going on here.
Lucky taps Moose. Moose, darling, you were right. There was an Eddie. Oh, Eddie, darling. Did you find the body?
Lucky. A body?
So what were you screaming about,
then? No, I saw much more than a body. I saw...
Yes, a corpse. We know.
And Kermit just, he turns around with whatever that device is doing so that Eddie can see it.
Yeah, literally, the way this all times together, you know, you've turned the device on, it was doing nothing. Eddie comes down, starts talking, who knows what he's talking about. His eyes twitching. You turn around, because you just notice the lights start glowing. And as you turn around, whatever folly is on it, as you move the meter to sort of show Eddie, you're moving it kind of, I guess, towards the front of the property. So whatever is picking up is that way, kind of thing.
Right. Eddie, are you seeing this?
Kermit, what? That works? It works?
Well, hell, I...
This was all theoretical.
It better work. I'm paying you enough for it to work.
Eddie, have you been doing drugs because your accent is drifting?
His pupils are, like, massive. Absolutely massive.
Where? What was my accent again? I completely forgot it.
Dracula, but a little less Slavic.
If Dracula was fading away into non-existence.
It's canon on this show that the more insane you go, the more you lose your accent.
Oh, yes. Okay, yes. Dracula, yes.
There it is. That was it. That was it.
There we go.
All right, yes. There I am. Yes. It works. It works. It's actually work. It was all theoretical. It couldn't have.
Have that conversation later, dear. Kermit, what does it say?
It's never done this before. It's saying the front of the house. It's there's some kind of a strange energy field coming from the front of the house. I wasn't sure that it worked, but now I'm sure. It's telling us something.
All right, well, then we go to the front of the house, and you can have your little technical talkies later. But we need to follow this. There might be a Frankenstein's monster. There might be a ghost. Who knows?
Kermit, should we go back and get the proton blasters?
Eddie, chop chop, come on.
Is the front of the house the direction that we've been heading?
Yeah. In the new room you're in, you can see that at the far end of the room, which it would be, you know, your best opinion, going towards the front of the property, there are two doors, not quite next to one another, but both facing towards the front of the property. As you all turn to the doors, thinking which one to go through, the one on your right, leading forwards, there's a sudden knock against the door. The door visibly vibrates. It wasn't just a knock on the door, it was like through something against the door. The thing is going off in the hand. You're talking about going forward. Perhaps it's that woman has now heard you and is desperate to get some help. I don't know.
Mike, would Edward be able to put the story of the nurse together with everything that's happening here? Like, connect the two? Am I at that level of, like,
yeah,
crazy?
You are fine, yeah? You are in control of yourself, but you have a range of information at your disposal. How you choose to connect that together is entirely up to you. And so if you want to make that connection in any way you wish and want to put that across, that's entirely, absolutely brilliant and fine.
Moose, before you knock that door down...
Moose has crouched behind a table and has drawn a bead on that door with his rifle.
Oh, okay. Lucky, there's something I have to tell you about everything that's happened here.
Are you a murderer?
No, but all of this is telling me Corbett did something to his wife, and he played with the occult. He had to have with all of this. The nurse, when she died, the doctor said that she said that there was a thing that came out of her. A thing that was not human. Lucky, she was insane, but I've seen things. This is why you have hired me. I've seen, and this is my study. I know that this exists.
Moose says, this thing, how hairy was it? Dead serious. He's dead serious.
Well, Moose, I wouldn't know.
Eddie, I believe you. We are seeing some very strange things. However, doesn't that mean we need to find out what's going on in this house, preferably before Bernard gets back? There's a woman in here that we definitely saw, or at least Moose saw. We've heard some things. And if he's playing with the occult, like you're saying, and I completely believe you, of course, we need
to
get...
Can I make a psychology roll to see if she actually believes me? No, I'm cool. I'll believe it.
Okay.
Sure.
But if he's playing with the occult, like you're saying, then maybe he's experimenting on some people. We found a body out in the back. That maybe...
You found the body?
Yes, yes. There was a corpse. There was a lot of screaming. It was a whole big thing. But there might be another person in here that we need to get out. And maybe they know something about what Mr. Corbett's doing. But I really think we should keep going, especially if your little doohickey is giving us some information here.
And while they're having this conversation, almost mindlessly, Kermit is walking toward the part of the room where this signals the strongest, if it's that door.
The strongest?
The strongest. The strengthiest.
The strengthiest.
Make a strengthiest check.
The strengthiest part of the signal, funnily enough, is not the meter, is not leading you to the door where that was knocked. It's leading you to the other door.
Okay. Kermit's just kind of standing in front of that door, holding the device, but also too cowardly to try to open the door.
Lucky's going to open the door where the knocking was coming from, because if Kermit's device is going to the other door, she thinks that whoever's knocking is probably someone who needs help. So she's going to try to open that door.
You open the door.
And die.
And as you open it, it's like a cupboard that's been kind of partially, just really only like by an inch or two, blocking the door in. But it's only partially. So as you push the door open, you can easily kind of push the kind of cupboard out of the way as you open the door. And it makes that kind of very familiar grinding sound as it moves over the stone floor, the wood over the stone. As you see around the base of it, you can see that the front of the cupboard had kind of glass doors or partial glass doors. They seem to have shattered and broken. The broken glass is around the feet of the cupboard and in the doorway that you've just opened. Looking in the room, there is some, you know, skylights, part of the basement room, that look out to the front of the house. There are various kind of boxes and crates and things. They don't seem to be, all seem to be kind of empty. And some of them are kind of angled upright. Some of them are flat. If this was a modern day and you saw this and you knew the person had a dog or a cat, you would kind of think, oh, they've set it up for the cat to kind of climb up and down, that kind of thing. It's almost like that. When you see a movement in one of the boxes, it's like, you know, maybe there is a cat or this lady who Moose claims to have seen at the window. Maybe she's in, you know, lying in one of these boxes or something, or cause you can sort of see a hand kind of at the side. You know, you just sort of see the tips of the fingers on the side of this box. That somebody is, you know, is in there perhaps. Seems like a woman's hand.
I'm going to move in towards it. Hello? Are you all right? We're here to help. Hello? And I'm going to go over to the hand because I think maybe she might have fallen and hurt herself.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it looks like. As you come over, sort of saying that you're not hearing any reply, as you look inside, you know, into the box, it's just an open-top kind of largest box. You see this woman's face. And for a second, there's a woman here that you can save. The rest of it kind of starts to filter in as you look around and you realize that this woman's head, there are two arms sprouting from where the ears would be. And there's a single human leg attached to the head's neck. There's no body. It's just a head with a leg and two arms. And it's looking up at you. And it's like, for a second, you kind of think, oh, this is really weird. And it's kind of still like it's not real or it's dead. And then this kind of big grin opens on the woman's face and the eyes kind of glint and look at you in this malevolent kind of devilish grin just looks you square in the face. And it's almost like it's saying to you, make a sanity roll.
That's a 100.
Wonderful.
What can I say? That's maximum sanity loss.
Oh no.
It would normally be a D6, so it's just 6 sanity loss. What if it had been a D100? That would have been good. 6 sanity loss, but that does mean it may trigger temporary insanity if you succeed with an idea roll.
My intelligence is really high. Yeah, that's a hard success. 32 out of 85.
So what is your reaction when this leg with a head and two arms, smiles devilishly up at you.
Her first thought is just Dr. Frankenstein, I presume. And then she just sort of freezes for a moment and then drops her stiletto that she's been carrying and she just backs up, breathing heavily. Back. Oh my god!
Hunt it!
Don't come in here! And she's gonna slam the door shut as fast as she possibly can. Fire, cleanse it with fire. Anyone have fire?
I have a lighter and a cigarette, which, funny enough, I just light a cigarette.
Basically, it's kind of fear and flee reaction, essentially, where you're going to back off very quickly, slam the door back shut, and you're shouting, fire, you know, we need fire.
Lucky, what did you see?
Your actual bout of madness, just technically, so you're aware, is only a couple of rounds. So literally, by the time you shut the door and you shout fire and we need fire to cleanse it, after, you know, count 5 seconds, that kind of manic, get away, we need to kill it or whatever, starts to begin to fade and you feel more in control. So you can do as you wish, but obviously, you know, there you go.
There's a thing in there, Eddie.
Yes.
Don't know what you saw, but there's a head with two arms growing out of its ears and a leg out of its neck. It shouldn't be alive. We need to kill it, whatever this thing is.
As Lucky says that last part, obviously everyone else has not really heard anything happening other than what Lucky's done. There is suddenly a massive, Lucky knows what's happened. The head thing has just thrown itself at the door that you're standing behind holding, and the door wobbles like this as it throws itself at the door that you're holding shut.
Can we grab the tables and shove the tables that were in the lab up against the door to try to keep it shut?
You certainly can. I mean, obviously, if you move away from the door...
Moose! Darling, grab some tables, please! Please.
Moose has no intention of taking his eye off of that door with that rifle.
Moose, someone, lock the door!
Eddie.
God damn it!
Move a table for her.
Eddie kind of wants to study the thing. But I'll move a desk.
I'll help you.
So it's not that particularly heavy. It's sturdy, but I mean, you know, one of you can drag it over. But certainly two of you can carry it over very quickly if you want.
Yeah, I think when Kermit sees Eddie moving a table, just since he's kind of his student now anyway, he instinctively goes over to help him do that.
There's a moment where basically Lucky is holding the door shut, and there's a moment where she's got to step away and you've got to, like, ram the table in, yeah? It's just a momentary second, but... things could happen in that momentary second, you know? So who's got the lowest luck out of Lucky, Edward, and Kermit?
I got 50.
I've got 50.
I have 42.
So that'll be Kermit then. So Kermit, can you make a group luck roll? If you're successful, the maneuver happens fine. If you fail this roll, then maybe things aren't so fine.
We all die.
All right.
What'd you roll?